Well, I trust as we're gathered together here this morning that you and yours were blessed with a Merry Christmas and enjoyed the break. It's true, with all of this rain, our family would have enjoyed a little, some of that had turned to the white stuff, and then like the invitation is always there. When we get the big dump, the hill is available, okay? So come, you're on your own, as even I found last year. You're on your own as you go down the hill, but it's open. We'll see if we get any here in January that we may still enjoy some of that time together. But I hope you had a wonderful Christmas, whether you have traveled or you were traveling or are back, or if you just stayed put and just enjoyed the time together yourselves, we trust that you enjoyed the holiday, enjoyed the week, and have much to praise the Lord for as we're gathered here today. It's an interesting Sunday as we have these Sundays bridging these holidays. And now we look ahead to New Year's Eve and New Year's Day here this week and the beginning of a new year. It might be for you that you look at that as no big deal. It's the end of a month. It's on to the new month, and on we go. Maybe you have a job, a vocation that has significant milestone there at the end of the year, moving on to the next, and additional responsibilities or just tasks that come up then. Or maybe it's something you really give a great deal of thought about, the conclusion of a year, the rolling over of a new number. Maybe it's something that you do spend some time and give pause to consider. What all happened over the last year? What was the good, the bad, the ugly? What were the things that, as you think of the last year and the last 12 months, that went on during that time? Maybe as you conclude a year and you begin to look into the next, you have some goals for the next year. Goals are a very good thing. Setting goals that we can hopefully achieve and reach, and some milestones along the way, can be a great thing. But not in the sense of setting those milestones as we trust ourselves for change in our lives. That's not necessarily the best either. We trust in the Lord to provide that change in our lives. But how are you approaching as we end one year and as we begin anew? How do you think on the last year? What do you think on as you consider the year to come? Well, blessings to you as we do enter that new year. Here this morning, we have an opportunity as a church then for kind of a church review, so to speak, to think on for us as a church over the last year, and to kind of think on that in terms of the Sunday morning gathering, the Sunday morning services, the preaching through the scriptures together. But to think on that, how was our review of 2024? What has God done? What have been the things along the way that kind of stung a little bit? What have been the things along the way where we can rejoice in God's great blessing? Of course, in all things, I trust you will agree, in all things we can praise the Lord. God tells us in every request, in every matter of prayer, we bring those before the Lord, but we do so with thanksgiving. Sometimes in the thanksgiving with great delight and laughter, sometimes it has to be thanksgiving through tears. We praise the Lord for what He has done. So what has God done? Well, we began the year back in January, had some guest speakers to begin, and then we began the year learning about the doctrine of the church. It was many months ago. We had 11 sermons in total, and we studied and preached through the doctrine of the church. What were some of those topics we considered there from January through April? Well, first we thought about the vision of a healthy church, just the picture, the desire, the hope of a church that is healthy and growing, is functioning as God would have a church to function. We defined what the church is. We thought about several marks of a healthy church. What were some of those? Some of those marks included love for biblical truth, a church that loves God's truth, God's objective truth from the scriptures. We thought about how what's marked of a healthy church gladly receives biblical preaching and teaching, a church that desires, a church that has a standard for, a church that wants to receive, wants to participate in faithful and true preaching and teaching of the Bible. For a couple Sundays together, we thought about biblical church leadership. So how has God designed the church to function as servant leaders? And that's not just those with titles. That's, as we learn together, the church as a whole. There's responsibility for service and leadership that comes from the membership. There's responsibility of leadership and service that comes from those two offices of pastor and deacon that we considered together. We thought about the place of biblical church membership, the joys that are ours as God's design of the New Testament church, and to join, to become members with, partakers in, not consumers, but participants in the providing for the welfare, the good, the ministry, the growth of a New Testament church. We thought about how all these things fit together in church government. How do all these pieces, all of these elements function together for a healthy and growing church? We thought about the purpose and mission of the church. We thought about the joyful, Christ-centered church. It's possible to have every duck in a row, so to speak. It's possible to have every T crossed and every I dotted, but still miss the mark when Christ is not the center of that church. A church's delight, a church's hope, a church's aim, to be Christ through and through. And then while it technically wasn't in that section, it was later in the year, it was October, we thought again of Christ and his bride, the love that God has, the love that Christ has for his bride, the church. In late April, it might seem, this was forever ago, it might seem it was just a short time ago, but believe it or not, it was late April, we began preaching the preaching series through Paul's letter to the Romans. Okay, I think we've made some pretty good ground through now, making it to at least chapter 6. We're doing all right. We thought about how a group of house churches there in Rome, some comprised of a variety of people from a variety of walks of life, had not met the Apostle Paul, had not been planted through one of his missionary journeys or his missionary teams. And this church there, we learned at the beginning, I learned some things that I had forgotten about. A church that, frankly, in a lot of ways is like our church. We thought about how this was a group of born-again men and women, boys and girls, singles and families, young and old, rich and poor, all worshiping Christ and seeking to grow in him. It's why Paul begins that letter with such clarity of who he is and what God's called him to, and then great clarity of the gospel. These are brothers and sisters in Christ sharing in their faith together. That describes us too. So as we conclude a year and we begin a new one, I think it wise, I think it good for us to pause for a moment and take a moment and look back over the last 12 months. We've thought about it. It's written right across the bulletin. It has been there all year long. We are the church. We are Calvary. So what, over that last 12 months, what have we been through? What has God done this past year? So first we begin, there's a variety of scripture passages. We're going to be kind of all over the place. I'm going to read those. Some I might draw more attention to, but I will seek to still explain them. This is outside my comfort zone, more of a topical survey sermon than an expositional. We're planted in one passage, but every sermon should be expositional. We can't make the Bible say what we want. So we hope and trust that the Bible will be our guide here this morning. Well, first, let's begin with what we could say maybe the negative, and then we'll move quickly to the positive. Let's think about first about a church's hurts. As we think about the course of a year, we think about our own lives. There's probably things in your life as you think about some things that didn't go well. And sometimes those things may be minor, no big deal. Sometimes those things we carry with us on into the new. Well, as we think about a church's hurts, just three summary ideas with this. First, I think it's wise for us to stop for a moment and think about a church's hurts over those who sleep. A church hurts over those who sleep. What do I mean by that? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 puts it this way. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. Revelation 21:4 also provides help for us. The Bible says that this great conclusion to all of time, this great glorious conclusion into eternity, what does it say that Jesus, the Savior, the King, is going to do? It says, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. The Bible describes this reality, and the early church began to experience it, that those whose faith and trust was in Christ alone still experienced the sting of death. They passed away. We trust what the scriptures tell us, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for the believer. And so there was hope. So it describes it in this way as those who are sleeping, those who will be part of the resurrection, those they will see again. And this verses give us hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says that you may grieve as others who do not have hope. There is hope. Nevertheless, the reality is there is grief. There is grief. There is a sting. There are tears of this life that one day will come where Christ himself wipes away. There are several in our church who've experienced the loss of a loved one this past year. I don't dare name all of those. Our entire church has experienced loss as well. The sleep, as the Bible describes it. One of our own, Erwin Gibson, went home to be with the Lord not very long ago at all. Erwin now sleeps, his soul awaiting resurrection day, a joyful day. Our hope and our confidence in the gospel of Jesus Christ, true and sure. Nevertheless, there is a hurt that a church goes through as one we love passes from this life to the next. Even knowing we will see them again, there's still a hurt. And I know for others within our church, connected to this church body, your extended family, friends, loved ones in your life, you've experienced that this year. We've prayed for one another. We've cared for one another. We've considered in those seasons of loss. And that's been part of our 2024. I think as we think back to the last year, it's worth our time to remember that. But there's a hurt. There's a hurt of those who aren't with us. They've passed from this life. We don't grieve without hope. But there is a grief. I think second, there's a church's hurt over the last year over those who have suffered. We have experienced hurt together over suffering. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12 says, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." There will be persecution. There will be suffering. Jesus himself describes it as taking up our cross and following him. 1 Peter 4, 12 to 14, which we've considered, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you." Don't be surprised by this. That there's trials that enter your life. There's things that your boat is going through the waters and the wave comes and crashes into the side of your boat. As though something strange were happening to you. God's lost control. Something's totally gone out of whack. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. The Scripture has been clear to us, church, and we know these verses, and there, of course, are more, are there not, that talk about for the Christian life, a person doesn't come to saving faith in Jesus, and then everything just clicks in place. You're just bouncing along through life. Everything's great. The sun's always shining. There's no muddy, rainy days. That's not the way it works. That there are trials. There are the valleys of the shadow of death, as Psalm 23 describes. Over the last year, there have been plenty of prayer chain emails. As the one who often sends them, I can attest to that. There's been a lot, hasn't there? There's been a lot along the way where we've prayed for one another. Sometimes those have come along and they've been with hope, with praises. Sometimes we've had moments where those prayer chain emails come out, do they not? And it said, "With this moment you read this, will you stop and pray right now?" I don't know about you, but when I receive those messages and I'm trying to write them, I often feel pretty helpless, personally. That's all we can do is pray. Lord, would you please intervene in this situation? Would you please act? There's nothing we can do to fix this and change this. Would you please act? And we've shared in that suffering together. We have prayed together over many hurts and many troubles. We have folks in our church who have had surgeries. They've suffered prolonged illnesses. We have folks in our church who have endured broken relationships, have gone through great and serious financial need. I think I will just mention one, if I may. I think of the journey of a family we all love so much, of Jordan and Lauren and Madison. Our church has ridden the roller coaster with them, have we not? We've prayed, we've rejoiced, we've cried, we've prayed, we've rejoiced again. There has been suffering. That's just one example. And that's part of a church too. A church hurts over those who have suffered. Our hearts hurt for one another. It's expression of the fact that we truly love one another. And that's been part of our 2024. And I think it's worth us remembering that. One final one in this first section, then we move on to a second section. There is a church's hurt over those who have not repented. There is a church hurt. There's a particular hurt for a church over those who have not repented. Matthew 18:17 says, if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Titus 3:10-11 puts it this way, as for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful, he's self-condemned. But that's not all the Bible says. There's a reason why it hurts, because Bible also says, Romans 2:4, or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to do what? To lead you to repentance. God graciously gives the gift of repentance. Praise the Lord. How often we are the beneficiaries of God's kindness and mercy and patience and grace to confess our sin and repent. We've thought a lot about through the preaching through Romans how that is to be a daily part of a Christian's life. It's a regular part of the Christian's life. Oh man, I got this wrong over here. Oh man, I had my words wrong there. Oh man, my attitude here was a disaster. Lord, would you forgive me? Lord, this was sin. Would you forgive me? Brother or sister in Christ, I sinned against you. Would you please forgive me? And God is so kind. Over the last year, we have grieved and hurt over those who will not repent and will not turn away from their sins. There's those in our church, and you've shared with me how you have shared Christ and evangelized someone that you love very much, and you continue to point them to Christ. You continue to try to direct them to the truth of Christ. And it seems as if they're hearing, but they're not hearing. And they won't turn away from their sin. There's those that we encourage and seek to encourage that keep being caught in a trespass, as Hebrews talks about. As we thought about, it's also in Romans 6. Romans 6 describes how the Christian fights the good fight against his own sin, resisting temptation, confessing sin, regularly turning away from sin, all by God's enabling grace. How as individual Christians fight the good fight against sin, we are a blessing to everyone around us. Everyone we come in contact with, we bless when we personally in our life are fighting against sin by God's grace, his enabling strength in the Spirit. Well, the inverse is true as well. When a Christian defends their sin, refuses and rejects counsel to repent from sin, they are a harm to those around them. This year, our church worked through a process of biblical church discipline, ultimately removing from church fellowship. To this day, there's no confession or repentance. And it hurts. It hurts. A church hurts when those who claim Christ will not repent from their sin. But I also think of another kind of church hurt. I think of many new friends who've come our way this year to be part of our church family. But a principle for them to come our way was they experienced great hurt where they were, where they had hoped to receive faithful Bible teaching, where they hoped to receive faithful Bible preaching, the clarity of God's word, particularly the clarity of God's word when it comes to human sexuality and gender. And so they were forced by their conscience, by their obedience to the Lord, to leave. And that hurts. That's part of a hurt. A church hurts over those who have not repented. And this has been part of our 2024. I think it wise, I think it reasonable for us to be honest, for us to admit where we've experienced hurt over the last year. Fortunately, praise the Lord, that's not all that our church has experienced over the last year. As we review the last year, we have endured hurts, but we are not without hope in our hurts. For our Lord has promised he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Psalm 147, verse 3. Hurts are not all that we have known. As the church, we have also rejoiced over great blessings. So what were some of those? First, our church has rejoiced together over answered prayer. 1 John 5, 14 and 15 says, "And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him." Those same prayer chain requests that have gone out through the church, God has answered prayer. God has answered our prayers over those same hurts, over those who sleep, who suffer, who've not repented. God has answered our prayers for every single prayer that has gone up from those prayer chain requests. God has answered prayer all year long. Sometimes he's answered no. Sometimes he's answered yes. Sometimes he's answered not yet. But God has answered every single one. So, don't give up praying, church. Do not give up praying. We are the church. We are Calvary. So keep praying. Keep trusting that God continues to answer prayer. God will continue to answer prayer in 2025. There's another one. Praise the Lord for what a church rejoices in. How has our church been blessed? Our church has been blessed in salvations. Our church has been blessed by this. Luke 15, 7. This is a beautiful verse. Luke 15, 7 says, "Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." This is an amazing thing. The Bible tells us, and if you've been around here for a while, we want to believe the Bible, right? The Bible tells us that when a person, by God's grace, professes faith in Jesus Christ, it may happen in a big moment, it may happen in just a small moment where they trust in Jesus. The Bible tells us that the angels in heaven explode in praise. They erupt in praise at the salvation of a lost sinner now saved by the blood of Christ. This past year, there have been professions of faith in Christ within and connected to our church. I don't dare mention, it's not my place to mention any by name, but praise God for friends, for family, for neighbors who have turned from their sins and turned to Christ by faith in Christ alone. We rejoice in this, do we not, church? We praise the Lord for those who now are our brothers and sisters in Christ. Wasn't true at the start of 2024, but it's true at the end of 2024. Praise the Lord. So church, don't give up sharing Christ with others. Don't give up. Don't give up being a witness and a light to those around you. Continue to encourage others to trust in Jesus. There's some within our church, and there are folks in your life you have been praying for years, if not decades. You have been praying that God would be merciful and he would draw them to himself. He'd open up their blind eyes, their spiritual blindness. So church, don't give up. We have no idea what God may will to do in 2025. But God saves sinners. God has saved you. God has saved me. Praise God. God saves sinners. Do not grow weary. God can save them. We are the church. We are Calvary. Keep praying. Keep sharing Christ with those who need. There's more. I think a church also, we have been blessed over this past year with baptisms. Acts 2, verse 41 says, "So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. The beginning, this birthplace of the church, that there at the day of Pentecost, there are those who hear the preaching of Christ, and it's this huge multitude that hears the preaching of Christ. And they respond by faith, and they want to believe in Jesus. And they say, what should we do? And they say, believe on Christ, be baptized, every one of you. And so that's what they do. They trust in Christ. They believe on him, and they're baptized. Praise the Lord for the joy of celebrating new brothers and sisters in Christ and they're taking the step of believer's baptism. Here I am going to risk naming some folks. So we delight as a church, we continue to praise the Lord for this year of observing, of participating in the baptisms of Christy Freeland and Caden Renner and Kenzie Renner and Vera Leach and Grace Hacker this past year. Each one has been born again by the saving grace of God. Each one made the decision to make their faith public through baptism. Each one is our brother and sister in Christ. And we, the church, have been blessed by taking part in those baptisms together.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And there's more to come, church. In the first quarter of 2025, we'll be having a special baptism service with some people who've already approached. They're already asking. They're already in the process of, I would like to make this step. I want to be baptized. How do I do that? And here at the beginning of this next year, there'll be more. Baptism's going to be filled, Lord willing. There will be more to make this step. Praise the Lord. And that's only what we know of right now. What else would the Lord will to do this next year? Who else is there that God is working in their lives right now? And in the course of 2025, they're going to become a Christian. In the course of 2025, they're going to be baptized, making their faith public to follow Jesus. So what will God do? We don't know. But we've been blessed this past year, and we trust as God has been faithful. I'm done with that. As God has been faithful, so He will be faithful in the next year. There's more, church. How else has God blessed us this past year of 2024? We have been blessed with new members joining our church. Our church has been blessed with folks who have been here and been with us and have said, yes, we want to join together with this body. We want to take part in this church together. Again, Acts 2:41, so those who received His word were baptized and they were added that day, about 3,000 souls. Added to what? Added to the church, added to this group of believers, led there by the apostles, the first pastor elders, and on into the future. I still find it amazing that at the same time we as a church were going through some of those hurts I talked about, God in His kindness continued to add more brothers and sisters to our membership. Remember all those Sundays to start the year? It felt like every Sunday there was someone else coming forward that we want to join, we would like to join. It just kept growing. And so we welcomed into our membership the past year Scott and Debbie Kempf, Rowdy and Christy Freeland, Loretta Turner, Dale and Kim Hedrick, Jim and Sherry Wyant, Cameron Wyant, Allison Wyant. She was Wyant at the time. She's Wyant, Allison Hitchman now. Grace Hacker and Dale and Beverly Weller. So like your waistline over the holidays, Calvary has grown in 2024 in the best way. We've been blessed, church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God has blessed. And Lord willing, we will be blessed even more in 2025. Beginning Sunday, January 12th, as Jared mentioned, remember next Sunday we don't have our Sunday school hour. But beginning Sunday, January 12th, I will be teaching through a five-week Sunday school class, and that is our membership class. And so how does that work? So to become a member of Calvary, you have to take the membership class. Taking the class isn't saying I'm ready to become a member now or I even want to become a member. It's just part of the process. And so we will be having that class. It begins January 12th. It'll run for 5 weeks. We'll have that there at 9 o'clock each Sunday, getting together with those who would like to learn more about membership of our church. So if you'd like to learn more about what Calvary's all about, if you'd like to learn more of what membership is about at Calvary, that's a great place to attend, and I would love for you to be part of that class together. Again, commercial, January 12th, 9 a.m. We'd love for you to be there. That leads me to another blessing that's been peculiar and unique for us this year, and that is new friends who have begun to regularly attend our church here at Calvary. Acts 17:32 says, "Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, but others said, 'We will hear you again about this.'" I don't think I'm stretching that passage to see in there folks hearing the truth of the scriptures and saying, "Yes, we want more of that. We want to hear more. We believe. We want to be part of that. In 2024, we have been blessed with visitors on nearly every Sunday. I don't know if you've noticed that, but we have been. Some have visited with us. I pray we're blessed with us with the Sunday that they were here, and then God's directed them onward, and that's okay. We trust the Lord with that. Again, we pray we were a blessing to them the Sunday that they were with us. Others have visited with us, and they've come back, and we've been very blessed by that, and we are glad that they have. So just like those who heard Paul's preaching and they said, we will hear more of this, God has blessed us as a church. God has blessed us with new friends as a church with that too. We will hear you again about this. New friends. So praise the Lord. And if you are one of those new friends, I hope that you see how much of a blessing you are to us, how much of a blessing you have been. In fact, that whole line is blurred at this point, okay? New friends and us, we're together, church family, church friends. It has been such a joy. You've been such a blessing. And so let me encourage you. Remember that one time when I was talking about that new members class that we're having real soon? I would love for you to attend that class. I'd love for you to be there. This is your personal invitation for me to come be part of that. Really, it is a great opportunity to ask lots of questions. The purpose is to overturn every possible question there is and learn all that you can. And I truly mean it. I'd love for you to come and be part of that church. And if God directs you to that next step of membership, praise the Lord. And if not, if God directs a different way, we trust the Lord with that too. But I'd love for you to come and be part of that. This is what God has done this past year. What does God will to do this next year? I don't know. But we trust the Lord as He has been faithful, so He will be faithful in the year to come. God will continue to do His good work. We are the church. We are Calvary. And we have been blessed by the Lord over the last year. To try to wrap this up, quickly, I have more, and there's more to the list than even what I can mention. We have been blessed, I pray, over the last year from faithful Bible teaching and preaching. Nehemiah 8:8 says, they read from the book, from the law of God, clearly. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. Faithful Bible preaching and teaching is not complex. It is difficult. It requires hard work, but it's not complex. Here's the Bible. Here's what the Bible means. Here's why the Bible applies to you. It's really that simple. And here at Calvary, from our youngest, littlest one Sunday school class, to our adult classes, to the primary service each week, the Sunday morning gathering, we have prioritized. We seek to continue to grow in. We seek to continue to improve in answering this question, what does the Bible say? We desire for that question to shape everything about us. What does the Bible say? How does the Bible direct us? How should we go about doing this? What should our beliefs be in this doctrine? The question, the very first question on the list next is, well, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? And for that, let's discover, let's learn, let's think on that together. Let's see what the Bible says. It's how we conduct our ministries, what we believe, how we worship, what ministries we prioritize, how we behave. It goes on. And so central to that is the faithful and careful teaching and preaching of the Bible. We may be encouraged by, but our lives will not be changed by quaint stories or I think this verse means to me. We desire the eternal truths of the Bible taught and preached week in and week out. That's what we desire. If I may share something just personally under this note. So most of you were here just a few Sundays ago when Dr. Kurt Lemansky was with us, okay? He made fun of me the whole time because I called him Dr. Lemansky. Call me Kurt. I can't. You're Dr. Lemansky, okay? And his excellent preaching. Dr. Lemansky was my preaching professor for my first year of preaching classes in Bible college, Pulpit Speech 1, Pulpit Speech 2, okay? It was horrible. The week that he was here at his preaching. Because it just reminded again, oh, Sam, you have so far to go of his excellent, excellent preaching. So one thing that I have been blessed with is a church that continues to encourage me. As the one with the responsibility of the primary, the preaching and teaching, I am thankful for a church that is eager to hear the Bible, that wants the scriptures. I don't know if we're quite there yet. I hope we are getting there. That if I ever got up some Sunday and there was no Bible, you would run me out of town on a rail, okay? There better be good reason for that. Because we want the scriptures. We want to hear the Bible. We want what the Bible says, and we want what the Bible says truly. I pray that that is our heartbeat together, and I'm thankful for a church that continues to encourage me, that continues to return each week, that listens, that takes notes. Thank you for your appreciation and your encouragement. Thank you for valuing the preaching and teaching of God's word. May it always be true until Christ return. May it always be true. Time fails us to think about how we of a church have been blessed with discipleship and outreach ministries that have blessed. All our regular ministries, Sunday school, Awana, youth group, seasonal ministries, VBS, Operation Christmas Child, and there's so many more on the list. We think of special community ministries like our fall festival this last October. Was that not a blessing? It was such a blessing for us. The time fails to think about how we have been blessed as a church with godly and grace-filled servant leaders. Some you see, some you don't see. There's 1 Timothy 3, 2 and 8. Says, therefore, an overseer, that's an elder or a pastor, must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. Verse 8, deacons, likewise, must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. Our church has been blessed over the past year with the leaders that God has graciously given to us. And if you allow me just a moment, I am so thankful. I am so thankful for the men that God has called and equipped to serve as deacons at Calvary Baptist Church. They have encouraged me deeply, more deeply than I know to say, over the past year. Our church has been blessed in financial provision. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. The point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. God has blessed our church, providing for our financial needs even beyond. And so God does that in order to direct us forward for those same resources to be used, given, stewarded for the ministries God calls us to. This is what God has done. What does God will to do? This is how God has blessed. How will God bless yet ahead in the days and weeks and years ahead? Finally, this all results in our praise. All that God has done, all the faithfulness that we have seen, leads us forward to praise. All glory be to Christ, church. So there's the church's praises. We praise God for his grace to us in Christ. We praise God for the gospel. We praise God for his faithfulness to us, at all times showing himself faithful. In the seasons of doubt, in the seasons of trial, in the seasons of great rejoicing. And we praise God that he gives with us into a new year. He goes with us into a new year. We praise God that as we go into a new calendar year, he is with us, he goes with us, and he will be with us through the very end. If you would look with one final passage with me before we conclude our service this morning. If you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, we'll read just a few verses there, and then we'll read just a few verses in Ephesians chapter 4. And allow these verses to be the final word on the matter. Ephesians chapter 2, and then just a few verses in Ephesians chapter 4. As we review, we are the church, we are Calvary, what God has done. Would you look with me, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning of verse 19 says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, verse 19, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This is where we started at the beginning of 2024. The church, God's building, placing us together, building us up together, a church that is growing in health, a church that never arrives, is always being sanctified, is always being changed, and we're being built together into this dwelling place. Friends, I hope you can see with me, that's exactly what God has been doing the past year. That's exactly what God has been accomplishing. And God will accomplish more. Finally then, Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 14. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. Excuse me, chapter 3. I told you the wrong one. I knew that was wrong. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, verse 14 says of chapter 3, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. May this be our prayer into the new year. May this be our desire, that Christ would all the more dwell in our hearts, that Christ all the more would be the joy of our lives, that we would grow all the more in the love of Christ in God, and that he alone would receive all the glory and all the praise until we are with him face to face. May that be our prayer. May that be our praise. As we conclude a year, had some hurts, was filled with blessings. May Christ be our all in all in the year.